God bless you.
Amen. All right. Well, how's everybody doing this evening? Did you get your naps in? All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 8, and I'm gonna read a couple verses there, two or three verses probably. Then I'm gonna get into chapter 9. But I reckon the book of Acts, I reckon, is maybe one of my favorite books. But you know, I lean a whole lot to what the Lord Jesus will have me to do. And sometimes it's kind of difficult to find out and make sure that it's of the Lord or if it's of the devil. But my prayer is each and every time that I stand that it's of the Lord. But I don't know, the book of Acts and the book of Romans, I just like the talk about Paul, because Paul has a whole lot here to where we can look at and we can grow by. And because Paul was a man, and I believe there too, after Paul got saved, that not only was David a man after God's own heart, but I believe also that Paul was also a man after God's own heart too, because of some things that Paul had done and writing. In what he had wrote here from in the book of Romans and then in Corinthians and Galatians and all that. But you know, Paul, he was a unique individual. He really was. But I'm going to just right here in chapter 8 in the book of Acts, we see right here in the top verse there, verse 1 in chapter 8, and it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committing them to prison." Verse 4 is speaking about the first missionary. It says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Let's look over to verse 14. And it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simeon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simeon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Verse 31, And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was laid as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Right there, I want to look at that little phrase right there. Preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. Now we know that when it comes down to giving out the gospel, when we come to the point in just sharing the gospel to the people that we come in contact with, That's what God the Father, and that's what the Son of the living God, and that's what so many in the Bible done there, that they would preach to the individual. And that is none other than being a witness to them, giving out the gospel. And that's preaching God's word. We know that some people has got this confused today. I believe the preaching and the pastoring. The pastoring of the local church is by man. It's by man. And God has to ordain that individual. Has to be ordained of God to preach and to pastor a church. But he also is also a preacher. He don't just come in here and pastor a church. He just don't come in here and help the people and allow the people to be able to come to him and ask him questions. And he don't just go to the hospital and visit. He don't just go and do these things. But he also does what the other individuals in the congregation does. And that's go out and give out the gospel. That is to go out and to preach Jesus Christ and him only, and he is crucified. That's what we need to be doing. So we're all according to the word of the living God, that we're all called to preach. We're all called to go out and to give out the message. But we know also too that people today, they get it confused about the preachers and the pastors. Excuse me. But we don't need to get it. We don't need to be confused about it, because we are called and we're all preachers. You've been called by Almighty God to go out and be a witness to him. But first of all, when God has called you, he burdened your heart down and he convicted your soul and he saved you from hell. Just like he did with me. He saved me from the penalties of hell, where I can escape the damnation that the Bible teaches about. And don't get me wrong, please. That I said that there are lady preachers that are standing behind the desk. Now, there's no such a thing in God's word that where a lady comes up here and pastors the church. That's not in God's word. God is against that. And I'll go further and say it more than that. And I'll say that a pastor needs to be the husband of one wife and one wife only. It doesn't make no difference if the wife has left him or whatever. As long as their wife is still living, if they're not with him, how can he get up here and pastor a church? How can he get up here and pastor a church if he's never been married before? He can't. Because he don't know. He can't help people in them type cases. He can't help them. He can't counsel people that has marriage problems. And he can't counsel families that have family problems if he can't keep his family together. And I know today we have a whole lot of that going on. Matter of fact, I believe we have too much of it going on. We have too much of it going on, and I believe also that is a big part in the way that the young people are living today. Because if the young people can look, and they can look and they can see it's supposed to be the man of God, he's supposed to be close to God and everything, but yet he's out here, he's been married 3 or 4 times and is still pastoring the church. Or if he's up here and if he's going about running around on the church secretary or the piano player or whoever it is in the church,
That weighs a whole lot on the young people today, because the young people will say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And they're supposed to be a preacher. They're supposed to be the pastor of the church. If they can do it and get by with it, I can do it and get by with it. Well, they may do it, but they ain't going to get by with it. Yes, the people here, the people in the house of God may overlook things like that, but God never overlooks anything, because in God's eyes, it's still sin. If it was sin back then, it's still sin today. It doesn't make no difference what the fact is. If it's sin then, it's still sin today. God never changes. And I thank God for that. I really do. But I believe we need to have people that's going out here. We need to have preachers going out here and going out here and delivering the message that they have learned on Sunday and learned during the week, that they can go out here and tell people and give people the good news. That's what a preacher is delivering the good news. That's what it is. I've had some people that has basically got out of fellowship with me because I've said that. God's word says it. God's word says what? They're preachers, they're evangelists, they're teachers. Everybody can't be a teacher. Everybody can't be an evangelist. Everybody can't be a pastor. But everybody can be a preacher in taking the good news to a lost and dying world. This world that we're living in today is lost more today than it has been in the past, because of what's going on in the local church house. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. It ain't not supposed to be where people come in and be a den of thieves and rob, and because they're robbing from the church, they're robbing from you. They're robbing your blessings. If they come in here and they sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and yes, and they say that they're saved, and go out next week and curse God. When they go out here and curse God next week, when they damn God all week, and all of this, and live in sin all week, and then they come back to church on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night, whatever. When they come back and they step in the house of God and they don't come up here and repent of their sin and ask God to forgive them of their sin and to save their soul, then what are they doing? They're robbing you. They're robbing the individuals. Why? Because you are the individuals that's here. You are the one that's kept the doors open. You're the one that's kept the lights open. You're the one that's kept up the building. You are the one that God has used here to keep it going. And we can't allow people to come in and take advantage of us. But they will. Man, the allergies. Ooh. But I'll tell you, Paul right here, well, I've been reading about, his name wasn't Paul then. His name was Saul. And he was going out persecuting the church. He was persecuting the Christians. Who are we persecuting today? Are we persecuting the church? Are we persecuting God's people? Are we? People say, talking about God's people being persecuted today. Yes, they may be murdered today overseas in a foreign land for preaching the gospel. They may be murdered.
even with that in that, and thinking about that, even the persecution that they went through is not the same type and the same style of persecution that the Christians went through back then. They had their head cut off. Some of them was hung upside down. Some of them was just drugged through the streets. We don't have nobody in Danville or Pennsylvania County who's been hung lately, have we? We ain't had nobody hung upside down in the city of Danville, Pennsylvania County. We ain't had nobody drugged through the streets because of what they believe. We're living in a free society, and God has all given each one of us a choice. And thank God for the choices that we have made. The choices that we have made is to serve Him and to look to Him for our gift and for our strength and our being and our speech and everything. We need to look to Him for everything that we do. But here in chapter 9 it says, and the very first verse says, And Saul right here said, he was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he be found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Saul recognized the voice right there. Because what did he say? Who art thou, Lord? And it won't no less, not no little L, it is a capital L. He knew who was speaking to him. Why? Because I believe that the Holy Ghost of God has been convicting him, has been speaking to his heart and speaking to his soul each and every time that he went out and had Christians persecuted. Every time that he went in into work on Monday morning, he went to the office there and he gathered the letters that the high priest there was giving him to take out that week and to go to these different churches and go to these different cities. As he was traveling, I believe the Holy Ghost of God was speaking to his heart and saying, Saul, you know this is not right. You know that this is not right. You know that God loves you. How many of you in here remembers you when you was in that situation in your life? When you knew that you needed something else more than what you had, and you didn't know what it was, but you needed something else. And something was speaking to you and saying, well, Shelby, God loves you. Bill, God loves you. Donnie, God loves you. And if you have somebody repetition over and 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 tells you that God loves you, then it gets to your point in time that that's all you think about. That's all you think about. God loves me. Of all I've done against God, God loves me. Can you imagine Paul saying it to himself when Paul was having the Christians persecuted, having them murdered? Yes, Paul didn't have the blood on his hands. He didn't go out and do the physically murdering them, but he was having them ordered, murdered. He was ordering his men to go murder them, because see, he didn't go out by himself. He had an army of individuals that went out with him. And verse 6, it says that he ain't trembling. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Seeing no one, seeing no man, no lady. Seeing no Christians around at all. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes was opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Saul's name was changed. When Paul's life was changed, when Paul's life was given unto God, and when Paul was dramatically saved right then, his name went from Saul to Paul. And God knew all along, before all of this even happened, God knew way back when Paul was doing all of this against the church and against the people that God loved. And God loved everybody. God did not want anybody to be hurt or persecuted. But with all that going on, God knew that if he could ever win Paul over, if he could ever win him over, that he knew that he had a servant of God that would have a backbone unto Saul. That he would not bend, he would not bow to nothing else but God himself. Paul was a man at that time, I believe, after God's own heart. Because he wanted to please God at all costs. And Paul went around preaching, sharing the good news that he had been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And he said in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of the book that God has allowed me to pick up. That's the way each one of us, we need to feel. We are not ashamed to pick up the King James Bible and read it. Why? Because it's of God. It tells us all about God. It tells us all about His Son. It tells all about the Holy Ghost. It tells us what we must do. It tells me what I must do. It tells me the way that I must act. It tells me
what I must do every day. And as long as I
breathe and I'm in my right mind, I'm going to stick with this book. I'm going to stick with this book. I don't know this book like I ought to. No one else does either. But I know one thing. What we do know is, it's what's there for us to learn. And we need to, when we read it, if we don't understand that part, we don't need to just stop right there and dwell on that part. Because we haven't faced that part in our life. We haven't met up. We haven't had to come to the challenge of that yet. So, we must do what we can to please the Lord. To please Him, not to please me, not to please mankind, not to please yourself. It's not about me. It's not about no one else but the people that I speak to. That's who it's about. It's about the lost people I hear. They're the ones that I need to have concern over. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know if I was to pass out right now, and if I must have dropped dead right here before I leave this building tonight, I know that where I'm going, I'm going to be at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be there. Why? Because I know that my name is written there in heaven. It's written there in blood. It's written there in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with my heart and my soul. Every drop of blood come from His body for me and for you. And we need to realize that. We need to let people know that we go to church to worship a living and true God. We come in here to worship God. And then we're supposed to go out through the door to serve God. I don't come into the house of God to serve Him here. I come in here to worship Him and thank Him for being with me all through the week. And be with me when I was up against or somebody speaking to and talking to them about the Lord, and it ain't work. They're probably ready to cuss me out, and I'm probably ready to pull a gun out on me. But praise God, I ain't supposed to worry about that. I'm supposed to worry about what I'm getting in. I'll allow God to handle the rest of it, because I believe this with my heart and my soul, that if I'm giving somebody out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're lost, and they hell bound, I need to do all I can to get them heaven bound. And praise God, they can pull out a .45, and they can point it right to my head, and they can sit there, and they can pull the trigger there 6 different times, or ever how many bullets is in the magazine, they can pull it there that many times as they want to. But I believe within my own realm, I believe this, and I believe God. I believe that I'm speaking to them with love, with discernment, and I want to see them saved. Here's a little short boy out of here. He's going to go up against the giant. They thought he was crazy. And really, if I have to see somebody out of here, just a little small and stature like the size of David, then somebody 6-8 foot tall come up, look like he weighed probably maybe 3, 4, 500 pounds, and he's
looked like he was so mean he could eat briar for breakfast and all of that. If I seen somebody at this then, I said, boy, you just need to turn your dream in and you need to run for your life because you completely crazy. See, David knew he was up. He wasn't just up against the giant. His back was to the wall. His back was to the wall. Because I believe that God was saying, you do that. You know, sometimes we may lay our backs up against the wall because somebody wants to harm us. Somebody wants to do something against us. And then if I a whole lot of times God will put a back against the wall. Well, we can't back up no further. Well, we ain't got to the point and we ain't got nowhere else to go. But we gotta go forward. We gotta go forward. David went forward. David was victorious. David done so much because he was little in stature, but like the word said, little as much when God's in it. When David was little in stature, God was right there with him. But God was a giant in David.
Covered by laying on it.
where the butterfly comes out of that tomb. That's all we pray about. Jesus came forth, he disturbed it, prayed unto God. They say that the napkin, or the face piece, was a napkin of cloth. Laid over his face. He said, that wasn't what they did for his face. That was what they did for his eyes. I said, and they say that the people that over there in Israel, at Golgotha's Hill, where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and then when they took him and when they buried him and everything, and they went to the grave away, he was buried in John's tomb. They said they had individuals that telling the people, scripture, read this, read scripture, which would be what they would say, what exactly. Each thing is great about them. They said the most important thing, the fact is it in the grave. The most important thing is the net that is laid by itself. They said what that napkin represents. And he just don't even go out. But he's coming back. He's coming back after the church. Are you the church? Yes, we the church. We are the living church. Yes, it's an organism. It's not an organization. It's an organism. And we're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And we're supposed to serve Him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we don't do it. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up on Sunday morning. Sometimes I don't like feel like you're getting dressed on Sunday evening. But you know the reason I do? Because I know that I can come to the house of God and I can feel the energy that's in the building by His presence. By His presence, I can feel the energy of God. Why? Because of the people, the interaction. What some of the people, what good ones they have, and have God do some spiritual good for them. Daniel, it's a new one. Sometimes you might go to church, and next thing you know, you might be on fire line when you get in church, and everything, next thing you know. Once before, he said he is. But you know something? pearly gates. His eyes will be wide open. Ain't gonna be no Goliath. Ain't gonna be no fuzziness. Break that beauty roll. He gonna say, "Yes, Jesus, I see you." Hallelujah. I mean, most of us, if we have to go to heaven before this year is out, we're gonna go with pretty good eyesight, pretty good health.
So long, there at one time in my life.
so thankful that I heard the gospel. That three individuals that I will never forget beside the earth. All three of them now is at home with you, Lord. Yes, Father. When I get home one day, I'm going to bow at your feet and I'm going to thank you for saving my soul and going to Calvary for me. Father, I'm going to also thank you for allowing the Holy Ghost to speak to the heart that they will come to you. And I'm going to thank you for saving my soul. And then, Father, then I'm going to go look them up. And yes, and I know that all three of them will be shouting. They're going to be praising God for eternity. And yes, Lord, I know that there that cloud of witnesses is looking over the mountains of heaven. Father, they look down upon the people today that's serving you, Father. And yes, Lord, I believe that they pray that each one of us is individual. We know that your Son, Jesus Christ, is praying, Lord. We know that. And I know that. But help us, Father, that we may be able to have a new desire in our heart to serve you. And to come into the house of God to worship you. The Spirit of the truth. Then we leave the house of prayer, the house of worship. Father, that you would help us to be thy servants outside of these buildings. That we may pray the gospel and we may speak it every chance that we get. Father, yes, because there's people that is just waiting for somebody. Come by them and just let them know that you love them. We know not who they may be. Lord, you do. Father, help us, Lord, that you may send us to them. Wherever they may be. Here in the community. Here across town. Wherever, Lord, send us back. That we may be able to share your love with them. Father, we thank you once again for this night. We thank you, Father, for these people. Father, I believe within my heart and my soul that each one of these people will still live. We look for yourself. And I know that you have many more. But Father, for this church, Lord, we know where the heart is. They want to see the church grow. They want to see souls saved. But Father, you're coming back after the church one day. Father, we need to be about our business. It's your business that we need to take together. You started. Your Son took up a plan. Started doing it. Now, he's there in heaven, sitting right beside your side. But the Holy Ghost that lives with him can help us do exactly what you want to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Huh?
It's the Lord work for this place 7 days. What's that place going to be like?
Eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, what is prepared for you as a gift. I've never seen that will be with you.
Well, look at us. when you're a teacher and you have to drag your stuff around because the kids are standing questions. That's not what a teacher does. My mom, she went from being a preschool teacher under a church to what we call a ghetto school. They have been having to pay. There are 99% black kids. The teachers have been paying 98% of their own classrooms. And that was scary, but it was still in. They have one teacher, she had just had a baby, her car disappeared. They found that at an intersection on Potter with all her babies there. They're not living money more than they put money anymore. That's what it is. That's one of the reasons why the teachers don't stay. And then like you said, they're not respected teachers anymore either. The school boards, the parents, the students, nobody's respected teachers at the office.
I would still understand the principles.
Figure out whether it was a student.
right, if you disturb the flag, she's crying, she's doing this, she's doing that. I can't teach my lesson for her crying. This is what I'm saying.
But you know something, that
she'll come home and talk about this, and put her hand on her.
You know, they put a seatbelt on the doors, but they still.
Well, Mrs. Gray, I know something, anything I can make there, I would, why do you put your hand on my daughter? I said, if she's doing so wrong, I'll take care of it.
I have permission to do it.
Well, I didn't, she said you did. Funny thing, I said, that didn't even cry the wall, but she changed.
We didn't have our condition, we had to say that.
Well, that told me, yes, she did.
But the windows, it got hot, but we had to stay all day.
That's, yeah, some parents might not care.
Now, all that's good. Mention something, not a mall.
There you go. Okay, German.
Then morning was nice.
You see, I had a friend at school, and he took a younger child, but he.
I mean, the book travel.
He had friends with Miss Parker.
The book travel, I think the book travel influence.
So German don't sit in the back of the bus, he's a.
I can walk in the back, slide it down the road.
And they pick up in your class.
And they just threw out.
Christine's a fine child. But Shelby's gets good citizenship and everything. She, the teacher, she now.
That's one thing I can question. This one I can.
Yeah.
And she don't have to, I mean, Kathy, there's something wrong with her, but she, I'm the couple family.
Well, see, that German, Danny accused him of lying to him, he thought he had lost the fund, and just didn't wanna tell him he lost it. So he had apologized, German. They called Randy, went to school, and they called it on camera, I'm glad they did, they said they could see it, just gotta figure out now who the boy is. It is.
And it is from the boy.
When you gonna get a chance to change your sign?
Good question.
You had the evenings, don't you?
Not evenings, I'm away in the evenings. I'm away in the evenings.
You'll just have to come down early in the evening to do it, early Sunday.
Y'all sitting at the desk at work.
I gotta get that gas can.
Okay, yeah.
Well, if you can make a key, I'll come down and do it.
I see, as long as he's up there, I'll down here.
You wanna get two or three, so he can get it up for a few months or something?
Yeah, I can. No, I got the card.
You have the card, that's all I got.
I ain't giving back to him, it's sitting on my wallet. So I might as well just use that, I need the gas to the same place, so.
Does it go home, go to work?
The shame is, I think you got that case.
Remember, I've been offered to leave the Walmart. Oh, you think tonight?
I gotta lay somebody else down.
Yeah, Robert Jones.